The Bible tells us that there's one name above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, demons flee. The name of Jesus saves. The name of Jesus heals. The name of Jesus holds all authority in heaven and in earth. So it shouldn't surprise you that the name of Jesus is under attack, right? Because the devil knows he can erase the power of the name of Jesus. So the devil tries to strip the name of his honor and takes the name that should be lifted high and tries to drag it culturally through the mud. And that might be one of the reasons why perhaps the name of Jesus is like the only name that's used as a curse word, if you could imagine. And so why is the name of Jesus under attack? Because the enemy knows if he can get you to throw around the name of Jesus carelessly, then you won't call on the name of Jesus when you really need to. So who is Jesus? What did Jesus do for us? Well, according to God's word, Philippians chapter 2, Jesus made himself nothing. The very Son of God, God in the flesh, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. God, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He is God, but he came as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The Bible says, therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Make no mistake about it. One day every single knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And at that moment, no one will take the name of Jesus lightly. We're in a message series called The Creed. And what we're doing is we're looking at the foundational truths of the Christian faith. And we're studying the Apostles' Creed. Now, if you missed last week, let me give you a little history on the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed was written in the 2nd century. And early on, it was actually used in baptisms. Whenever a new believer would come to faith in Christ, they would go to what was called a catechumen. It was kind of an extended class. And they would learn and then publicly declare the Apostles' Creed. So, before their baptism, they would stand up and before all the church and all their friends and loved ones, and declare publicly. It's like a line in the sand. I'm not what I was. I now belong to Jesus. And they would say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ. And this is what they would say before they were baptized, to declare the foundational truth that changed their life. And over time, the Apostles' Creed became more than just a baptismal statement, but it became a confession, unifying believers across different nations and languages and generations, all the way to today. So if you can imagine, the Apostles' Creed has stood the test of time, endured persecution in the body of Christ, through doctrinal debates and cultural changes, it reminds us that Christianity isn't built on shifting opinions, but on the eternal truth of the one true God of the Bible. And so, as we're looking at the creed, what I want to do is I want to ask you the question. We're talking about Jesus today. Who do you say Jesus is? Like, what do you call Jesus? You can ask a lot of people today, who is Jesus? Some people say, well, he's a historical figure. We know that. He was a very wise and powerful teacher. He taught great things. He was loving. He was a role model. Some people would say, no, Jesus is actually the Son of God or the Lord of all. And so I'm going to ask you, who do you say Jesus is? And what do you call him? And why does it matter what we call him? It matters because what you call someone reveals how well you know them, right? What you call someone reveals how well you know them. For example, I mean, you might call me different things. Some of you call me nice things. Some people don't. Hopefully, you'll at least be neutral to positive, you know, whatever. And so, you know, like, what do you call me? If we're friends, we're on a different level. And so more informal, more casual. If you're one of my kids, my grandkids, they know me in a different way. Now, Steph knows me in a different way than anybody. And so she's got lots of different things that she calls me. And I'm not going to tell you any of them, okay? Because they're different, very meaningful. And one is for those times when she's correcting me. And so what you call someone reveals how well you know them. What do you call Jesus? What do you call Jesus reflects how well you actually know Jesus. We said the first part of the creed last week. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, who is Jesus? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's Son, our Lord. Now, I want to tell you right now that Jesus Christ, our Lord, that is perhaps the most important and most controversial statement made in the history of the world. Most important. Jesus Christ is Lord. If that's true, it matters more than you can imagine. And it's controversial to say he is Lord above all in this world, in heaven, on earth. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'll show you this phrase. I'll tell you this phrase in the Greek. It's Jesus Christo Kurios. And it means Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, to be really, really clear, because some people don't know this, Jesus Christ is not Jesus' last name. Just want to clarify that, right? Jesus is his name. Christ is a title. It comes from the Greek Christos, and it means the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one, is what it means. Now, it's been said, and you know this is true, that if you want to keep the peace and you don't want to get in a fight with people, there are two things you don't talk about. What do you not talk about? You don't talk about religion, and you don't talk about politics, although some of you do, and you do it quite a bit, and I see you on social media. And of course, you're right, because you are right. To declare that Jesus Christ is Lord was both religious and it was very, very political. If you lived in the 2nd century, 3rd century, in the Roman Empire, and you said, Jesus is Lord, you weren't just making a faith statement. You were actually making a very controversial political statement. And the reason is because Caesar was known as a god, and Caesar was called Lord. And so if you called Jesus Lord, that was considered a direct attack against Caesar. And it was considered treason and could cost you your life. So to declare, and it's still true in many parts of the world, to declare the lordship of Christ, this is not just about worship, but it's about allegiance of your heart. And for someone to say this in the 2nd century, they were saying that there's no emperor, no ruler, no government, no earthly system that has ultimate authority over our lives. Only Jesus does. And it's true today in many parts of the world that if you declare you're following Jesus, you belong to Jesus, you are devoted to Jesus, in many parts of the world, you're going to lose your job. People lose their freedom. To this day, people even lose their lives for declaring the lordship of Jesus. But in the early days, they'd go to their baptism and they'd stand up knowing they could be tortured for this. And they would say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And they'll go through this whole thing. And they declared it and kept declaring the lordship of Christ because they knew the truth that Rome's power was temporary and Christ's reign is eternal. Jesus Christ is Lord. The most important and perhaps the most controversial statement, literally, in the history of the world. Now, a little side note, just for fun. Who do you think was the first to recognize Jesus as the Son of God in the Bible? Who do you think was the one in the Bible to look on and say, oh, that's the Son of God? Let me tell you who it wasn't. Wasn't Peter. That would have been a good guess. Wasn't James. It wasn't John. Who was the first to recognize Jesus was the Son of God in the Bible? The answer is the demons were the first to recognize Jesus as the Son of God. In Mark 3:11, Scripture says this, whenever the impure spirit saw Jesus, when the demons saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. If you could imagine the supernatural realm recognize the lordship of Jesus before the natural realm did. And the demons, the powers of darkness, recognize that that is the Son of God. And so calling Jesus Lord back then was controversial. Calling him Lord today is controversial, and it's becoming more controversial by the minute. And calling Jesus God's only Son, that was considered defiant, and even heresy. And the reason is the Romans believed in demigods. A demigod was a half god, half human. But as followers of Jesus, we don't believe he's like part God and part man. We believe he is fully God and fully man all at the same time. Jesus is God in the flesh. God literally stripped himself of the glory of heaven to come to earth in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He loves the broken. He loved those who were hurting. He didn't come to condemn, but he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is not part God, part man. He is fully God and fully man. Who did you say he is? What do you call him? Because what you call him reflects how well you know him. Now, there are those that do not know him. Let me just say it as pastorally as I can. There are those who've been in church a lot and do not know him. There are those that have a very real head knowledge and can answer questions about him, but do not know him. And God wants you to know him. And what I want to do is I want to show you 12 verbs from the Apostles' Creed that will help you know him if you don't know him. These are the verbs in the Apostles' Creed. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to hell. What does that mean? You're going to have to come back on Easter to find out what that means. He descended to hell. He rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Conceived, born, suffered, crucified, died, buried, descended, rose, ascended, seated, come, and judged. Those 12 verbs explain completely the whole gospel of who Jesus is and why he came. And those 12 verbs show us his full humanity and his full divinity. That he was all God and all man all at the same time. Humanity. He was conceived. He was born like a baby's born. He suffered like you. Whatever pain you experienced, he experienced. He knows that pain. He was crucified. His physical body died. He was buried. This also shows us the divinity. How was he conceived? Not like you. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Why does that matter? He didn't inherit the sin nature of an earthly father, but had the divine nature of the heavenly Father. Therefore, he could live without sin and be the Lamb of God, the perfect one who gave his life. Conceived, born, suffered, died, buried, descended, but not like a normal person. God raised him from the dead. He's now ascended in heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And one day the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are left alive and remaining will be caught up with him in the air, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And when he does, those who know him will worship him, and those who don't will regret it for all eternity. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say Jesus is? I mean, this really matters. This is everything. Who do you say he is? Like if he's Lord, That demands our lives. If he's not, do your thing. If he's Lord, it demands it all. So you say, like, who is Jesus to me? He's my comforter when I'm hurting. He's my healer when I'm broken. He's my peace when I'm overwhelmed. And so I don't just follow Jesus because I'm an American and because I grew up in church and because I don't believe in Buddha or Muhammad. No. I follow Jesus because I know what I was without him, and I know who I am with him, and I refuse to go back. He is the Lord who transformed me and made me into the person I could never become on my own. So who is he? Who does the Word, the living Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus, full of grace and truth. Who does the Word say Jesus is? He is the light of the world. He's the living water. Once you drink of him, you'll never thirst again. He is the bread of life that satisfies your soul and nourishes you to become who God created you to be. He is the good shepherd. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is the Lamb of God who is slain. Jesus is the one who touched lepers, befriended prostitutes, ate with sinners. He fed the hungry. He opened blind eyes. He healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead. And if you know him, he carried your sin. He took your shame. He conquered the grave and he defeated death. I ask you, who is he to you? Not just in words, but in how you live. How you live reflects what you really believe. And Jesus asked us this piercing question. And he could ask you this today. Jesus asked this question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Can you imagine with love and heartbreak him asking, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you're harsh with your spouse and distant from your kids? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not honor me with the things that I've trusted to you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you're not sharing the truth of the Lord who saves? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And Jesus said this in Matthew 7:21. And this is haunting. He said this, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who goes to church and says, I'm a Christian, I'm American, you know, God bless the USA. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, one day he'll come again to judge the living and the dead. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name. We perform many miracles in your name. You know we did good things for people in your name. We gave to the Red Cross in your name. We helped the lady across the road in your name. We did these good things. And Jesus will say, but I never knew you. But I never knew you. And so I would just ask, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Lord? And if you believe it, just kind of quietly where you are, would you just say it with me? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Who is Jesus? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Let me tell you, if you really believe he is the Son of God, if you really believe he is the Lord of your life, it'll show in the way that you live. Let me just say it again. I want you to hear this lovingly. If you really believe he's the Son of God, if you really believe he's the Lord of all, it will show in how you live. When you say, Jesus is Lord, you're not making a casual statement. You're declaring your ultimate allegiance to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Because Jesus is the name above every name. Therefore, it should not surprise you that the spiritual enemy is attacking the name of Jesus. Because the enemy knows if he can belittle that name, then you may not call on the name because he knows what that name represents. At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. At the name of Jesus, darkness flees. At the name of Jesus, chains break. At the name of Jesus, those who are broken are healed. At the name of Jesus, sinners are saved. And one day, I promise you, one day, at the name of Jesus, every single knee, including yours, will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can do it a little late, or you can do it now. And if you do it now, and if you believe it, then it will impact how you live. And so as lovingly as I can, because this is so serious, with every bit of pastoral love that I have, I just want to ask you this. Is Jesus your Lord? Not just in words, but in how you live. Because if he's Lord, it will change your life.